This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Today's the deadline for state lawmakers to redraw North Carolina's congressional districts. The Senate approved new maps yesterday. The House is debating those new maps today and is expected to approve them. The move is required by a Fourth Circuit Court decision that said the current maps were racially based. And we're going to talk about the political maneuvering to get new districts and what it means for voters and what it means for candidates in just a moment. But first, GOP lawmakers asked the U.S. Supreme Court to grant a stay of a lower court's ruling and keep the current districts intact. So far, the high court has not acted. Joining me now is constitutional law professor April Dawson. She teaches at North Carolina Central University School of Law. Welcome to the State of Things, April.
Thank you, Frank. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you here. Tell us what we know about the petition to the Supreme Court. What are lawmakers asking for?
Well, they're basically asking for a stay related to the redrawing of the maps. This was a application for a stay that was sent to Chief Justice Roberts, as he's the circuit justice for the Fourth Circuit. And they basically want to maintain the status quo as opposed to having to fulfill the order of the three-judge panel.
And that would maintain the status quo only temporarily because they would appeal, and they said, but pending that appeal, we'd like you to keep things the way they are, and then we'll have a fuller hearing later on that lower court ruling that says we're unconstitutional, right?
Correct.
All right, so now, and the court obviously is distracted now because of the death of one of his justices, Antonin Scalia. If they don't act, what happens?
Well, you know, one of the requirements to have the court grant a stay is you have to demonstrate irreparable harm. So it's interesting because the state legislature has actually come up with redrawn districts, and they have pushed back the congressional primaries to June the 7th. That really seems to undercut their claim that there's irreparable harm. So it's hard to know if the justices are following the news. And so I would, frankly, be very surprised if the court doesn't act at all.
Is that something that lawyers for, let's say, the plaintiffs in the original case, in other words, if you were resisting the stay, could you point that out to the justices? Look, they've already done it. What's the harm in going forward with a new plan? Can they do that now, or is it too late to make that case?
Well, there are two issues with those that were challenging the originally drawn district. So the first is, of course, they don't want there to be a stay, but there may also be a challenge by those original parties to the redrawn districts. So they're in the process now, I'm sure, looking at the districts, looking to see that they pass constitutional muster. So they certainly want the three-judge panel to take a look at the redrawn districts, and they may have some opposition to that as well.
Is that something happens? Does that happen automatically? I mean, you know, a three-judge panel says those districts are out of order, redraw them. Do you have to come back to that court and say, here, we've done it? Or do you just redraw them and say, send a note and say, we've done it? Do you have to show them the maps, I guess?
Well, certainly those that were challenging the districts, if they take some opposition to the districts that have been redrawn, they will definitely ask the three-judge panel to take a look, because it's not going to be enough for the state legislature to redraw. They have to redraw them in a way that passes constitutional muster. So if they don't, if there's that challenge, then it would be the three-judge panel that would take a look at these redrawn districts in the first instance.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. This is kind of a broader question, but we know that it is not unconstitutional or illegal for states for legislatures to use politics in their redrawing of these maps. Gerrymandering is a term that's over 100 years old. Funny-looking maps have been with us for a long time. So you can do that. You can use politics to create a map that favors your party. It's already been tested. I guess my question is, how far do you have to go to actually create a map that's unconstitutional? Or another way is to ask this is, how unusual is it for a court to find you've gone too far? This one just is way beyond the pale.
Are you talking about the 2011 redrawn district?
Yes,
or the most recent.
The maps that the three-judge panel have said were unconstitutional because of the racial bias built into them. How unusual is that kind of finding?
Well, I think based on the evidence that the challengers were able to present, it was not surprising. There was an over-reliance on race in those districts. And when you looked at the congressional districts and how they were drawn, it was clear that there was some motive. And if the motive is race as opposed to party, then that heavy reliance on race is impermissible. So it really does depend upon the evidence that's presented, and based on the evidence of the drawing of the districts in 2011, it was clear to the three-judge panel that race was used impermissibly. Not that race cannot be used at all, but there cannot be an over-reliance on race.
April Dawson, thank you so much for talking with us.
Pleasure to be here.
April Dawson is a law professor at North Carolina Central University School of Law. And while they await a ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court, North Carolina lawmakers have been redrawing the state's congressional districts. They're expected to vote today to move the primary from congressional seats for the congressional races from March 15th to June 7th. Jorge Valencia is at the Capitol. He's Capitol reporter for WUNC. Welcome back, Jorge.
Hello again, Frank.
So the Senate redrew the maps and approved the redraw yesterday. That's gone to the House, and the House is debating that at the moment. Am I right?
Yes. There are four representatives waiting to give their input.
All right. So then that's likely to be approved. The new maps were required because the old maps, as we say, were gerrymandered based on an over-reliance on race. Tell us how these new give us a sense of what we can see with these new maps. How do lawmakers claim that these maps are different and improved?
Well, first thing you need to know, just a big picture, is that the maps keep 10 Republican members representing North Carolina in Congress and 3 Democrats representing the state. So that's the biggest thing. The next thing is that the Republican majority here at the General Assembly that drew the maps and laid out the criteria said they were going to use voting history since 2008 in order to be able to predict how people would vote in these districts that they have newly drawn, and that they use that information to their advantage to make sure that they would keep 10 seats in Congress.
All right. So what does this new measure do to the primary date? Now, that's a separate bill, but that's likely to change too.
Yep.
What changes, which votes are or are not included in the June 7th primary?
Well, so this is where it starts getting even more confusing, because the new date, like you said, is June 7th, but there is also the March 15th date, which is when we were going to have all of our primaries, where we're still going to have most of them. But Republicans have asked, like you were just talking to Professor Dawson, they've asked the Supreme Court for a stay. So if the Supreme Court were to issue a stay, then the congressional race could still be on, the primary could still be on March 15th. So as of right now, we have two separate dates for the congressional primary.
And wow. And so what does this do to the filing period?
Well, there would be a new filing period, and it would start on March 16th, and it would be through March 25th. So they have about 10 days or so to sign up.
Well, this means essentially you're sort of planning for two races in some ways if you're running for office. And if the maps are redrawn, you're not quite sure where your voting district is. So you're not sure who you're voting for at this moment, because it's all up in the air.
Yeah, and you know, if we have two sides here, Republicans and Democrats, they both agree that there's a lot of confusion here, and they just simply disagree on whose fault it is. Republicans say that it's the fault of this three-judge panel because they only 2 weeks ago gave them 2 weeks to redraw the maps. Meanwhile, Democrats, they've said here this week, and there was also a filing with the U.S. Supreme Court that said that this chaos is actually the creation of Republicans when they drew the maps in 2011.
All right. Yeah. So now the new legislation also eliminates runoff elections, too. What effect might that have?
Well, that's very interesting, because right now, if there are more than two candidates in your primary and the person who comes out ahead doesn't get at least 40% of the vote, then they have to run against the second candidate. Well, now, in any races where there are three more candidates, simply the person who gets the majority of the votes is going to win.
So also the fact that there would be two primary dates if this goes forward, I mean, you can expect probably a far lower turnout on that second day, since it's only four congressional races. And so then the dynamics and the numbers get pretty hinky. So,
people are more likely to show up to vote for a president.
Right. Who's affected most by this?
Yeah, so if we're going to talk about the members in Congress about winners and losers, then we've got the two biggest losers are Congresswoman Alma Adams. So she represents a district that currently it snakes from a part of Greensboro down Interstate 85 and then a part of Charlotte. Now that district focuses only on Charlotte and Mecklenburg County. Well, Congresswoman Adams lives in Greensboro, so she is no longer a resident of the district that she represents. And then we've got Congressman George Holding, who lives here in Wake County. Well, his district that encompasses seven counties in the central part of the state is now in the western part of the state, so he is no longer a resident there. Now, they can still run for – they're still the incumbents. They could still run for those seats. But the reality is that voters are much more likely to vote for somebody to represent them who is their neighbor.
Jorge Valencia, Capitol reporter for WUNC. Thank you, Jorge.
You're welcome, Frank.
Just ahead, a new book examines the decades-long friendship between Eleanor Roosevelt and Pauli Murray. And we will talk about that on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.